You know, every period of life has its challenges. We talked this morning about remembering the Creator in the days of our youth. And if we were to really put our lives on a board, beginning with the time we reach the age of accountability, somewhere around our teenage years and the middle years and our golden years, every period of time in our life has challenges. Maybe not that are exclusive to that age, but perhaps are stronger at a given time than they are in others. Perhaps in our teenage years we may struggle more with peer pressure and the desire to conform than we do when we come over here and we're 70 and 80 years old. In our middle years, it may not be peer pressure, but sometimes we tend to struggle with overcrowding and materialism. We so fill our schedules with things of this world and wanting more material things. We try to get life started on our own that sometimes we forget about the Lord. And sometimes after we get to our retirement years and beyond, we may not struggle with some of those other problems. But sometimes those in the service of the Lord struggle with complacency or retirement from the Lord's kingdom. That is, they decide that they put in all their years of service and it's time to let somebody take over the work. And they don't do everything that they can do for the promoting of the good of the body of Christ and His cause. And I want to talk with you for a few moments tonight about the idea of serving God in our golden years. God expects us to serve Him from the time we reach the age of accountability all the way to the time that our life is through upon this earth. But how can we serve God in our golden years? First of all, does God expect us to be productive in our golden years? Secondly, what service is it that the church needs that those that are older in the faith can provide? And thirdly, how can I assure that when I grow older, or you grow older, that you can be productive in your golden years? Well, let me begin by pointing out that God expects us to be productive when we're older. He expects us to provide something in His service. In the passage that was just read for us, in the book of Psalms chapter 92, the psalmist there compares the righteous to a number of kinds of trees. He compares them to the palm tree or to the cedar in Lebanon, those that are planted in the house of the Lord. But giving his description of these righteous individuals, he said in verse 14 that they shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. In other words, God says, here are righteous people. And one of the characteristics of those that are righteous and firmly planted in the Lord is when they're old, they don't quit producing fruit. But they're still bearing fruit to the Lord, still sharing His message with other people to the very best of their ability. And so the principle is stated, righteous people bear fruit as they get older. But not only do I learn that in principle from Psalms 92, I can also look at God's use of older people. Look about the older people in the Bible. I think about Moses and Aaron. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7, God called Moses to deliver the people, and Aaron, his brother, would be his spokesman. And it said in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7, as they began that task, that Moses was 80 years old and his brother Aaron was 83. Do you realize, by the way, that that was already past the normal lifespan? In Psalms chapter 90, the psalm written by Moses, Moses made this statement that the years of a man's life were 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. Even back then, that the average lifespan of a man was between 70 and 80 years old. I'm always reminded, by the way, when I look at that, that with all of our advance in medication and all the technology we have, you know what the average lifespan of a man is today? Somewhere between 70 and 80 years old. And that's not to say that all those things are not have not made life better and not increased the average lifespan. But what it is to say is that as a result of sin, man's going to die. And there's nothing that medicine or technology or anything else is going to do about that. We're all going to depart from this life. Probably somewhere between 70 and 80 years old. Some a little bit older, some younger than that. But that was already the normal lifespan. But God had work for Moses and for Aaron to do in their older years. And not only do we have Moses and Aaron, we think about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 when he's in the lion's den. I can remember as a young boy thinking about, and even a young preacher, thinking about Daniel in the lion's den. And I thought about this young man in the lion's den in Daniel 6. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, I can remember some coloring pictures or clip art that would be given out in Bible class. And you sort of picture this young man in the lion's den. Do you know in Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel's called, he's a young man. I don't know how old he was, nor does anybody else exactly, but probably in his teenage years, somebody probably between about the age of 16 to 20, at the time that he's taken captive in Daniel chapter 1, in Daniel chapter 6 is over 70 years later. It's over 70 years later. The Babylonian Empire has fallen. Darius is serving as king. And now we're not talking about a young man of 18 or 20 years old. We're talking a man that may have been 80 or more than 90 years old. And he's still faithfully serving the Lord. Still praying three times a day. Still setting an example that the people that he worked with recognize that if we're going to find any fault in him, it's going to be with regard to the law of his God. Because he's devoted to the Lord above everything. And then there's the Apostle Paul, who in Philemon chapter 9 wrote and described himself as Paul the aged. Philemon verse 9, one chapter book, the short one chapter book of Philemon. And Paul writing to Philemon, encouraging him. It's written about the same time as the book of Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians. And what the Apostle Paul said in writing to Philemon in verse 9 is he said, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged. I don't know exactly how old Paul was, but I know he considered himself, one translation says, Paul the old man that was writing to him. He was an older man, still active in the kingdom, still pressing toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And we could go on and talk about others. We could talk about Anna of Luke chapter 2, who had been a widow of 84 years and was still praying and serving God daily in the temple. God has a work for those that are older in the faith, and he expects us to be productive, not just when we're young Christians starting out, not just when we're middle-aged Christians, but when we're older, he still expects us to be productive and bearing fruit in his service. But what kind of service is needed from those older men and women today? And I'll let everybody decide for themselves whether they fit in that category or not. Whether you're in your golden years or not. But what does God expect? And what kind of service is needed that older men and women can provide? Well, let me notice a number of things in the Bible that I believe our older men and women are needed for today. There's always, first of all, a need for elders in the Lord's church. Now, I realize, before Brother Smith gets mad, that one can serve as an elder and not be in his golden years. Or Brother Ward either. But the word itself suggests one that is somewhat older. That has at least been old enough to develop the qualities that are necessary that are described in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And to show their ability to lead in the raising of their family up in the Lord. Now, there's not, years ago, I remember a fellow wrote to me, and he wanted to know, how old do you think an elder has to be? And he wanted a specific age. And my answer was, he had to be old enough to meet the qualities laid down in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I believe that's the only answer we can get from the Bible. And if he possesses those, then he's old enough to do the work of being an elder. But again, the word itself suggests that there is a need for those that are wiser and more experienced in the faith. In Acts 14 and verse 23, after the Apostle Paul came through on the first missionary journey, he returned back through the same places where he had planted the gospel, and they appointed elders in every church. Do you ever find it discouraging, by the way, that in a short period of time, they were able to go back through and appoint elders in every church, and sometimes we have churches like Beulah, where I labor, that have been there for years and years and years, and we can't find a plurality of men qualified to serve as elders. I find that to be sad. But in a short period of time, these men developed those qualities and they were able to serve. And Paul told the preacher Titus in Titus 1 that he left him in Crete to set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every church. When a church is not scripturally organized, something's missing. Something's lacking. They may be that they have to do the best they can if they don't have a plurality of men qualified. But even when a church is scripturally unorganized and they don't have a plurality, something's missing and lacking until they can appoint men that can serve in that capacity. And it takes those that are older and more experienced in the faith. And I find it sad that at a time when many, and I limit that to qualified men, should be serving as elders, they're retiring from service to the Lord. You ever been a place where there's someone that it seems possesses the qualities? I might add this. Possesses the qualities with exception of desiring the office. I do think that's an important quality and qualification of an elder. But they just simply don't want to do the work. We're going to let those that are younger take that responsibility on. We need older men in the Lord's church that are willing to take on the work, and there's a reason it's called the work of elders, and overseeing a flock and watching for their souls. But there's not only a need for older men that can serve as elders, there's a need for older women to teach. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, in verses 3 to verse 5, the book of Titus is about the sound faith. And one point that's made in the second chapter of the book of Titus is the sound faith applies to all. And he talks about responsibilities of older men and older women and younger men and younger women. But Titus chapter 2, over here in verses 3 to verse 5, he talks to the older women. And he said, the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things. That they may admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. God said we need older women in the body of Christ that can teach younger women about the responsibilities as a wife and the responsibilities as a mother. Now it's possible that I can take from the Bible, and I can preach a lesson. I have preached lessons on how to be a good wife and the biblical principles there. The elders could teach that. They could have a man teach a Bible class on that. But I tell you, one of the most effective ways for that to be done is by women that know what it's like to be a mother, or know what it's like to be a wife, to be able to admonish and teach the younger women, not just from print, but from experience, the things that it takes to raise up children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and what it takes to put up with their husbands, and what it takes to love them when difficult times come. We need older women that are teachers. And I find it unfortunate, just like I say about men, that sometimes at the very time the Bible says that women need to be teaching, there are some that are just quitting the work of teaching. Now, I'm not saying that younger women don't need to teach or younger men don't need to teach, but the Bible specifically says older women doesn't need to teach and admonish the younger women. I tell you what else we need. We need the wisdom that older men and women possess in the Lord's kingdom. There should be wisdom that rests with those that are older and more experienced. Now, that's not always the case, but it should be the case. In the book of Job, chapter 12, and in verse 12. Job 12 and verse 12. Wisdom is with the aged men, and the length of days, and understanding. That is, wisdom needs to rest with the aged men, and the length of days, understanding. There are things that you learn by experience. There are things you learn that you can teach others as you grow older. In the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And in verse 32. Leviticus the 19th chapter and in verse 32. There's an instruction here concerning the laws and how they were to treat other people, the Israelites. And one of the commands that was given in Leviticus 19 is, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your Lord. Fear your God. I am the Lord. That is, because there is wisdom that rests with those that are older. They need to be respected, and that wisdom needs to be honored. And there's a lesson in that for younger people. But there's also the lesson in that there's wisdom that they can provide in teaching others, and sometimes wisdom when decisions have to be made or advice needs to be given. I remember years ago, I preached in a place where there was a man that was well respected. He was in great health. He still had a great deal to provide, but he decided, I put in my times, and when they didn't have elders, I'm not going to go to the business meetings. I'm not going to help making the decisions. I've done my work. At a time probably when they could have used some of the wisdom that he could have provided, he excused himself from the work of the Lord. And we need the wisdom that older men and women can provide in the Lord's church as they teach Bible classes, as they serve as good and godly examples. There's a need for the service that older men and women can provide in the Lord's kingdom. What service can they provide? Now, sometimes we have to be honest in saying that sometimes individuals get to an age in which they can't perform some of the things they used to do. And I know people, we've got people at Beulah that may have once been very good Bible class teachers. And it's not just that they've retired from the kingdom, but as a result of health and infirmity, they can't do it anymore. But you know, while it's possible that there are some things that we can't do, there's almost always service that we can perform in service to the Lord. Most of us can teach other people. Look at Psalms chapter 71. It may not require the teaching of a Bible class, but we need to be teaching other people. Psalms chapter 71, in verses 17 and verse 18. The psalmist said, O Lord, you've taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who has come. He said, Lord, you've taught me from the time I was young, and now that I'm gray-headed, let me teach just one more generation about your word. There needs to be teaching that can be done. Wisdom that is provided by those that are older and more experienced can be a very valuable thing in Bible classes. But even outside of Bible classes, there's that teaching that can be done to friends and neighbors and to those that are weaker in the faith. But even if you can't teach others, you can pray. That's a service that all of us, from young to old, can provide. I think about Anna, who in Luke chapter 2 and verse 37, there's some debate about Anna's age. Some translations say that she had been a widow for 84 years, and others say she was a widow of 84 years old, and I tend to think it's probably the latter. But she was an older woman who had been a widow for a long, long time. Of course, this is under the old law. And in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 37... Luke, the second chapter and the 37th verse, it said this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. There's a need for the prayers of those that are older. The prayers, sometimes publicly if they're able to pray those, but even in Anna's case, her private prayers on the behalf of the work of the Lord, on behalf of the elders as they lead. You know, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One translation said, it has much power as it is working. And how much power does the prayer of a godly individual who's given their entire life in service to the Lord have? Sometimes I think we minimize prayer. I think sometimes we minimize prayer. Somebody is sick or ailing or there's something we can't do, and we'll make this down to you, well, all I can do is pray for you. And it's almost as if at times in our language we're minimizing what prayer does. But prayer is a powerful thing. And we need to remember we can always pray in the Lord's kingdom, or for the Lord's kingdom. We need the service of teaching others and praying. Older men and women need to provide encouragement and sometimes rebuke. Some of the greatest encouragement I have ever received is from those that are older in the faith. You know, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Even as we grow older, and as we described this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the aging process begins to affect our bodies, we can say a kind word of encouragement to others. Do you know how much just a kind word of encouragement can mean to someone? To a young boy that's starting out and he's extending the invitation for the first time or leading singing. Somebody that's been there and older in the faith that can put their arms around and just simply say, you know what, I appreciate the work you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing in service to the Lord. It means a great deal, and almost anybody can offer encouragement. It can be a letter that's written to encourage one that you've seen growing in the Lord. I wonder sometimes if we do the work of encouragement as much as we need to. And I mean by that we may be very quick to point out when somebody has failed, but oftentimes we don't find the time to encourage when they've done well and they've grown in the Lord. And I think that when we do the encouraging the way we need to, it makes the rebukes a little bit more effective. But sometimes it may be the encouragement. Sometimes it may be the rebuke that may be offered. Revelation 3 and verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Now that's the Lord that's talking there, but rebuke is a sign of love. And love that is, and a correction that is provided by one that is older in the faith, that you know loves the Lord and loves your soul, it ought to be accepted well. You ought to accept the advice of those when it's good and godly advice. There's the service they can provide in teaching others and praying and encouraging and sometimes rebuking when necessary. There's the service they can provide in terms of a godly example. A godly example. You know, one of the jobs of an elder is to set an example for the flock. And we sometimes talk about marking brethren when they've been unfaithful. Note that person. And we need to do that. The Bible talks, however, about marking another kind of person. You know, the Bible talks about the device of man. Note that person. Mark that person. And avoid them. But you know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians talked about those who walked like he walked. And he said, note or mark such a one as you have us as an example. That is why we may mark some people as saying, we don't want to be like them. I want there to be older men and women, godly women and men, that I can point my children to and say, that's the kind of person you want to grow up and be like. That's the kind of person whose faith you want to imitate. Those that are older provide or can provide a godly example. See, some of the things that in my life have been the most encouraging to me is to see the faith of those who are sometimes infirm, who sometimes have health problems, and in spite of all that, they do everything they can to be present in services. And I can look at them, and they may never lead a prayer, and they may never teach a Bible class, but they need to understand they provide something for the body of Christ by the very example that they set. In order to be an encouragement to others to follow that example. I remember several years ago, I told this to someone the other day, that I remember at Beulah, I was lamenting the difference in attendance we had at one point from Sunday morning to Sunday night. And somebody said, well, when you got a lot of older folks, you come to expect that. And we had a top-heavy group in terms of age. And I said, it's not the older folks that are the problem. It's the younger folks. Sometimes the older folks will set a godly example, and sometimes those of us that are a little bit, that are a lot younger, and it helps, we allow little things to keep us from being there when we need to. They need to be inspired by the example of those that are older and godly and still faithfully serving the Lord. A godly example is a powerful thing, and that's what was pointed out in Titus 2 in verses 1 through verse 5. I believe God expects us to be productive in our golden years, and I believe there's service that those that are older are qualified to provide in a way that younger people just can't provide. We need the wisdom. We need the elders. We need godly teachers among those that are older. We need encouragement. We need rebuke. And we need the prayers that are offered by those that are older. But the question that needs to be raised at the end is, how can we continue to be productive in our golden years? You know, the honesty, I think, would compel us to admit that sometimes we've seen individuals that were once very productive in the Lord's kingdom, and they get to a certain point and then they just sort of step back and retire. And they're not as active as they need to be. And that's one of the saddest things to me. It's sad to see a young person go astray. It is sad to see one never grow in the Lord. But to me, one of the saddest things is to see somebody that has faithfully served the Lord for years and years and years, and they get toward the end and then they let up on the accelerator. And they quit serving the Lord. How can I assure that if I get to my golden years, that I will still be productive? And how can you be productive in your golden years? Well, number one, always be growing in faith. I think we need to understand that growth is a continual process. And what I mean by that, there never comes a point in time where we know enough that we've graduated from learning the Word of God. There never comes a point in time when I can close my Bible up and say, well, you know what, I've got it mastered. There's nothing else for me to learn. There's no improvements for me to make. My faith is as strong as it can possibly be. There's no room for improvement. There's never going to come a point in time in my life that I can say that about my faith. And there's never going to be a point in time in your life where you can say that about your faith. Faith needs to always be growing. It's a continual process. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. I used to think, and you may disagree with me on this passage, and that's fine. I used to think that 1 Peter 2 and 2, when he talked about his newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, I used to think of that in terms of a passage describing the new convert in the Lord and the great desire that he needed to have for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, the more I've studied that passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, the more I believe that what he's describing is not the attitude of new converts, but the attitude that every single Christian needs to have for the Word of God. And that is, for those of us that have had children, we realize that when that we take that baby home, nobody has to teach that baby when it needs milk. It's going to let you know when it needs to be fed. That's its sole desire, is to feed upon the milk that its mother can provide. And just like newborn babes desire the pure milk, we need as Christians to have that same earnest desire for the Word of God. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness and service to the Lord. I remember, you know, sometimes you'll read something just sort of sticks in your mind. And I remember reading Brother Paul Earnhardt's material several years ago on the Sermon on the Mount. And he made this statement in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, or about Matthew 5 and verse 5, when it talks about those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he made this statement, that the only thing that truly hungry people think about is food. You know, you and I use the term hunger probably in a very loose way. You know, we get up and we eat breakfast and we go a couple hours without something and somebody says, well, I'm hungry. But the word hunger that's used in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5 is the same word that was used to describe Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when it said he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and afterwards he was hungry. It describes that intense hunger. And when you're truly hungry, the only thing you think about is food. And I tell you, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, our all-consuming desire is serving the Lord. All-consuming desire is to study His Word and become more and more like Jesus each and every day of our life. Growth is a continual process. That's why the Apostle Paul commended the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, because their faith was growing exceedingly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, we are bound to give thanks, are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Our faith needs to always be growing. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you realize that when it comes to faith, that faith doesn't stand still? I believe that's a principle. It's laid down in the Bible. Faith doesn't stand still. It's either increasing or it is decreasing. That's what had happened in Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 11 to verse 12. Hebrews 5 and 11 to 12, he talked about those that by this time you ought to be teachers. But you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You should have been teachers, but now you've digressed, and now you need that milk of the Word again. See, when faith doesn't increase, it decreases. Somebody compared it this way. They said, faith is sort of like a car you park on a hill. If you're not accelerating, you're losing ground. You can't put it in neutral, can you? And that's the way our faith is. We can't just sort of get to a point and put our faith in neutral. If we're not accelerating and going forward, then our faith is going to be decreasing and going backwards. And so how can I assure that I'm productive in the Lord's kingdom? Always be growing. And remember that even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man should be growing stronger each and every day. There's nothing you and I can do about the outward man perishing. It's going to happen. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that is spiritually, if I'm in my golden years, my faith needs to be growing stronger and my spiritual life needs to be better than it's ever been before. How can you be productive in your golden years? Don't ever quit growing in faith. In close connection with that, in order for our faith to grow, never let up in your Bible study. Challenge yourself in the study of the Bible. I mentioned earlier what godly examples can mean to you. Many years ago, I guess about between 10 and 15 years ago, not that many years ago, when I preached in North Jefferson County in Birmingham, there was a lady there. In fact, her mother was the one that started the work at Fultondale years ago in her basement, and from that it had grown. And by the time I moved there, she was a lady that was had many infirmities. I can't even remember her age. I think she was nearing, she was between 85 to 90 years old, and she lost her eyesight. She couldn't see. Couldn't see a thing. And I can remember her every day sitting, or her daughter telling me, and I'd seen it myself, sitting and listening to the Bible on tape. There was a time when she might have excused herself and said, I can't read anymore. But she never let up in her Bible. Even when it got to the point that she couldn't see, she'd get a tape and listen to the Bible and rewind it and listen to it again. And she did that day in and day out. Don't ever let up in your Bible study. I don't care if you're a teenager or if you're 70 years old or 80 years old. Don't ever quit studying your Bible. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 said that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. That's the old King James Version. Or be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. My favorite translation of that is the English Standard Version. And it said, do your very best to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God expects me to do my best. And part of that demands that I study, young or old. Don't ever let up in your Bible study. I've said one thing that I admire the most about my grandfather, who's been preaching for many years, is the fact that he's been preaching for 61 years, probably over that. He's 81 years old, been preaching full-time for over 60 years. And one thing I've admired as I've looked at him is that if the church at Northside or any congregation said, could you come and speak to us today on the Ethiopian eunuch, he'd study Acts 8 like he's never studied it before. And I can appreciate that, and I can admire that. And I hope that as I grow older, that I have that same kind of desire to continue to study and not rest upon the laurels of the works of the past, but to continue to press on. Never let up in your Bible study. Then you need to realize there's no retirement from the Lord's service. Many times people look forward to the time they get to a certain age and they can retire from their work. But you know, there doesn't come a time when I can retire from the Lord's kingdom. The Bible doesn't give a retirement age. I've never put in enough time that I can quit. In fact, can you imagine the Apostle Paul? Just imagine if you can for a minute living back in the first century. Can you imagine the church at Antioch calling the Apostle Paul and saying, Paul, we've got some people we'd like you to teach. We've got a missionary journey we'd like you to go on. Or that, you know, we'd like you to come and preach a series of lessons for us. And the Apostle Paul responding by telling the church at Antioch, well, you know, I put in my time. Call Timothy. Let somebody that's younger do the work. I've retired from the Lord's kingdom. I can't imagine the Apostle Paul doing such a thing. In fact, you know what Paul the aged said? Go to your Bibles in Philippians chapter 3 and remember that this is written at the same time he called himself an old man. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 beginning at verse 12. The Apostle Paul said, not that I've already attained, and I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul the old man said? Paul said, I'm not there yet. I'm not perfected yet. I'm pressing on all the way to the end. And that needs to be my attitude. That there's not a time for me to retire from the Lord's kingdom and to look back and say, look at what all I have done. I need to continue to press on faithfully to the end. And the Apostle Paul did that. And when he came to the close of his life, he could say, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day, not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. Realize there is no retirement for the Lord's kingdom. In light of what the Lord did for you, do you really think there'll come a point in time when you've given all you can give to Him? Or all you should give to Him? There's never a time to retire from the Lord's kingdom. And finally, brethren, how to be productive in our golden years? Be as active as you can, as long as you can. We realize that principle, I think, when it comes to sometimes the physical part of life. That is, you'll offer to do something for somebody and somebody says, I'm going to do what I can for myself as long as I can do it. And I can admire that. I can respect that. We've got some older folks at Beulah that many times I've offered to do something for them or pick them up or help them in the building, and they're just saying, "Oh, I don't need that. I'm going to do what I can for myself as long as I can do it." And I tell you, it keeps them going and being productive when they have that attitude. But should we not have that attitude when it comes to the Lord's work as well? There may come a time in my life when I can't preach anymore. There may come a time in my life, though I hope it doesn't come, when infirmity affects me to the point. Of course, I may not live to be an old preacher. I don't know that. But if I live into my golden years, I've seen the time when there's some preachers that got to the point where their minds weren't what they used to be and they couldn't preach anymore. And I've known some men who physically they had problems that didn't allow them to preach. But I tell you what I do want to do. I want to preach as long as I can. Be as active as I can as long as I can. And if the time comes that I can't, well, I'll have to cross that bridge when I get there. But until that time, I hope my attitude is that I want to be as active as I can as long as I can. And there may come a time with some of those that are older here that you can't teach a Bible class. And there are sometimes those that are not Bible class teachers to begin with. But I'm talking particularly about those who have that ability and then they're just not using it. There may come a time you can't teach a Bible class anymore, but if you can, then do it. Be willing to do that. Be as active as you can as long as you can. Realize this. God only demands of us what we can do, but He does demand that we do what we can do. That is, if age and infirmity is at a point where you can't do those things, God doesn't expect you to. God doesn't expect of me what I can't do, but He does expect of me what I can do. I'm reminded of the story of the parable of the talents. And the fact that the one talent man didn't have to do what the ten talent man did, or five talent man. And the one talent man didn't have to do what the two talent man did, but God did expect them to use their talent. And whatever talent you have and whatever you can provide, then provide it as long as you can. And let me make this point too, and I should have made it perhaps on the last one when I talked about there being no retirement from the kingdom. Sometimes I've had those that are older in the faith say, "Well, I want to give an opportunity for those that are younger to use their talents." And I appreciate that because as I look back on my life, I'm appreciative for those that gave me the opportunity to lead singing and the opportunity to preach, to extend the invitation. But I want you to understand this, there's a place for both in the kingdom. It is not an either-or proposition. It is not that we can't, if we're going to use young people, we can't use the older folks or vice versa. There is room in the kingdom and a need in the kingdom for both. And you can still use your talent here in the work at Northside, and there can still be time and room to develop the talents of the young men and the young women that want to develop their talents in service to the Lord. Be as active as you can, as long as you can. Set a godly example before those that are younger. In fact, I might point this out, that one of the greatest ways to encourage those young people to develop and use their talents in the Lord is for them to see you using your talents in service to the Lord. It's one of the greatest ways that you can encourage them in the service to God. Well, serving God in our golden years. We talked about the young folks this morning, and we talked about those that are older tonight. You'll decide for yourself as to which category you belong in, or there may be some of us that are somewhere in the middle. But whatever our age is, we need to be using our time and talents in service to the Lord. And we need to be trying to share the gospel with others, encourage each other to grow. And if we do that, maybe we can have a home in heaven together someday. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you need to become one while the opportunity is provided. I don't know when the Lord's going to come, but I know He's coming someday, and it could very well be today. I often have told people, I'm afraid that in my own mind sometimes, I'm guilty of thinking of the judgment day as being something that's out there. You ever think that way? That is, when we think about the judgment day, if I'm honest with myself, I sometimes think of the judgment day as something that's out there somewhere. I don't know that. It might be tonight. I don't know that I'm going to get back to the Smith's house tonight before the Lord comes. I don't even know if we're going to finish the invitation. So because you don't know that, you need to get ready to meet the Lord right now. And so if you're not a Christian, become one tonight. Believing on the Lord, repenting of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be buried in the waters of baptism. Serve the Lord faithfully after that, all the way through your golden years, however long that might be. And you can have a home in heaven someday. Or maybe there's somebody that's obeyed but has wandered away from the Lord and needs to make corrections in their life. We can help you in doing that as well. No matter what your need is, please take advantage of the opportunity this evening. Please respond right now so that we stand and we sing.